Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Justine Rotolo, also known as Miss ADD, and I want to welcome everyone to the program today. I really think we're going to have a lot of fun because we're going to do a little humor with Tom Nardone and ADHD. And I truly believe a lot in finding the humor in things, and I believe that in my life it has really helped me to move forward in a successful way because laughter is very therapeutic. And I think in our world we can use it a lot, like when we put our keys in the refrigerator and walk around for 2 hours and not being able to find them. We can find humor in everything that happens. So before I bring Tom on the program and we talk a little bit about him and what he does and his life, I just want to remind anyone who's listening in the Los Angeles area, every Wednesday night, I run a support group for CHAAD, Children and Adults with ADD, and it's a powerful adult support group. We do a lot of mindfulness. We do a lot of emotional individuation. We have a lot of crosstalk. We talk a lot about different things that all of us do to help ourselves get to a better place. So the address is 2785 Pacific Coast Highway. It's the Center for Learning Unlimited, and that's in Torrance, California, and it's every Wednesday night from 7:30 to 9. I also want to remind everyone that my book, ADD Land, The Gift of ADD, is for sale. It's on Amazon.com, or you can come to my website, missadd.com. And also don't forget to listen to all my podcasts on iTunes, and they're all for free. It's under Justine Rotolo /missadd. So right now, without further ado, I'm going to bring Tom on the phone. Tom, are you on the phone?
I am.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Good, Justine. How are you?
I'm doing great. So I'm really excited about the show. We're going to have fun, and you're going to tell us a lot about what you do and your life. And I've very, very impressed with the blogs that you've written. I've read them. And, you know, recently I was thinking about the one because when you were in, I guess it was first grade, the one that you
mm-hmm.
wrote about. Yeah. And you know, it really brought back a lot of memories. I went to Catholic school my whole life and was not a pretty picture for me in first, second, or eighth grade. Just go up the list. Very difficult. So talk about that and the funny part, but also the struggles involved, if you don't mind.
No. First grade was just really tough for me. Where my parents and, you know, I lived, there weren't a lot of kids around. There was, you know, a lot of older people in the neighborhood. So, I mean, we pretty much just drove my parents crazy all day. But when I got to, I was really excited about going to school, mainly to, you know, have a lot of new friends.
Right.
And it just didn't work out that way. It was a long time ago, and I maybe could have told you what the reason was then, but I don't. Honestly, no. It's just I seem to be the butt of all the jokes and the person that got made fun of a lot, you know, that the class laughed at. And it was just, you know, I hated it. It got to where I just hated school. I mean, I hated the building. I hated the bus ride. I hated everything there was about it. And I hated talking about it, you know.
Right.
You know, it really, you know, all and it, that's that was the case through most of my school, though. I mean, it really didn't. And there was, like, brief, like, the fifth grade, and then part of the eighth grade, you know, where there wasn't a lot of problems. But pretty much up until the 10th grade is when it ended. But, you know, first grade was just really bad because it's the first time I'd ever – I had no idea why all these people wanted to be so mean all the time. And that story has resonated with a lot of people. I think that's, you know, by a large margin is probably the biggest read story on both my blogs. But yeah, this kid named, and most, and those of you that read it know, but a kid named Roman. He was, just the ringleader and, you know, I just had enough and, I really didn't plan on doing what I did, but, you know, I was just going to go in there and beat the hell out of him. He went to the bathroom just before that. He snuck out of the room, you know, to go to the bathroom. And, of course, me, I went up and asked. I saw him leave, and I knew where he was going, so I asked the teacher if I could go to the bathroom, and she had no idea that's where Roman went. So I was just going to go in there, and I didn't really – I figured I'd probably get in trouble, but I just didn't care. And, you know, when I got in there, I expected to see him at the urinal, and I was just going to go hit him in the back of the head and you know, I guess fight him. I'd never been in a fight, but I guess I was just going to figure out how to do it.
Right.
And when I got in there, you know, I saw his – shoes and his pants, you know, bunched up around his ankles, and he, I was just going to go in there and steal his shoes then. I figured, you know, because what had happened that day is I was at the urinal, and he was in that same stall, and he peed on my shoe while I was at the urinal. So
which
I'm walking
so
around,
horrible.
You know, with a shoe full of his piss all day, sloshing around, you know, every and whole class, of course, asking me, you know, what happened, and what happened to your foot, Tom, you know, and all that. And, of course, they know because Roman was gloating about it.
Right,
so
right.
I reached under to grab his shoes to steal them. And, of course, when I grabbed his shoes, his pants and his underwear and everything else came out with it. And the bell rang. And I just panicked and just balled it all up and threw it in my book bag and went and got on the bus like nothing had happened. And, of course, the... what had happened was, you know, this little bastard stayed at the school, you know, because he had no pants. All he was wearing was a shirt. And he was there till like 6 o'clock, and some janitor around was sweeping the floors and heard some kid crying in the bathroom after everybody had already gone home. So his parents had to come pick him up, and, you know, they were at school the next day with the teacher, and they were wanting to know who did it, and, you know, I don't know, his mom was there pleading with the class, like, oh, my little boy would, he wouldn't do that to any, you know, and I'm just, like, sitting there trying to,
right.
You know, not say something, but I didn't care, and, you know, then it's funny, because it was only, like, the last 2 weeks of school, but the attention was not on me anymore, it was on Roman. He became, you know, the new butt of all the jokes, and, you know, they got a lot of mileage out of that one. You know, I didn't feel bad for him, but I didn't really, you know, get involved with it.
Was he,
I figured
was he nicer
as long as they're not
after
bothering
that?
Me.
Was he nicer
Pardon?
After that? Was he nicer
I don't know.
To
I
you?
Mean, he didn't know who did it. And he wasn't nice or not. He was just, you know, taking a bunch of crap from everybody in the class. So he just kind of sat there and minded his own business, hoping no one would talk to him, much the same way I did the entire time I was in the first grade.
Right. And you know what I've noticed, and it's interesting because as I look back, and it's really cool because I'm friends with a lot of kids from my elementary school because I went to, you know, kindergarten through eighth grade with the same kids. And as I look back on some of these kids, and I've spoken to them directly, you know, they had ADD also, and these were the kids that were the troublemakers in class and couldn't focus. I was one of those kids, and they used to call me Sister Mary Victrola because, you know, I talked incessantly all the time, and, you know, I also got bullied, and it was really sad. It was scary to go to school because fear of getting hurt, fear of somebody saying something that not only was going to, you know, not only getting hurt physically but emotionally, which was really, really sad. So that blog that you did, I'm sure, resonated with a lot of people, brings back a lot of memories of how horrible it was to just get up and go to school every day.
Yeah, and, you know, it's I guess I'm surprised it's not more people, but surprising. I mean, all but I think I've gotten two comments on that, you know, were, you know, sympathetic towards Roman, which, you know, hey, that's, I mean, I get it. I mean,
right.
You know, the truth is it is a first grade, poor little first grade kid who was depanted while in the stall. And,
right.
You know, of course, his parents don't know that, you know, he's a little ass when he goes to school every day. So
right.
As far as they know, you know, maybe he was the victim, but, you know, I was just tired of it. And I think the only reason why they, for that last 2 weeks, that no one really bugged me too much is because it was just, you know, Roman was like, you know, breaking news. And, you know, with me, it was just like, you know, same old, same old. I don't
right.
think it was that, You know, Roman didn't learn anything. He wasn't a better person. And to be honest with you, I don't really care what he's doing today. It's I don't need an apology from him or any resolution. I mean, I'm really all of that stuff in my life today. I am already way past it. All the problems.
But you'd be surprised how many people are not. And
I get that.
They still hang on to those days. And it's very difficult.
Things are just not that way for me now. You know, things have gotten, you know, considerably better.
Which is great.
But yeah, and you know, and the biggest trouble that was, you know, the ridicule was obviously a tough part of going through school, but you know, the work was really, yeah, the worst part of it. And it wasn't even that it was hard. It was, you know, it was just coming out of a daydream in the middle of class. And everybody's just quietly working on something. I hadn't a clue what. And, of course, you can't talk while everybody's working. So I had to just sit there and wonder what I was going to be getting a zero on, you know. And,
it's pretty hard.
So that obviously,
it was very difficult. So tell me, what made you decide to do these blogs, and how long ago did you start doing this?
Well, it's a year today for, you know, the WordPress.com. I had a site that was before this one, and, you know, it was really just, I wasn't really doing a lot with it, but, you know, I had talked to some other people that blogged, and so I went on the WordPress.com thing, and that's kind of when things got started for me, and it was a year ago today.
Wow.
I wrote,
happy anniversary.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
That's really cool.
And I didn't really, I started the blog, but it wasn't because I wanted to be a writer, you know, and it feels funny referring to myself as a writer even now, but.
And you write very well, by the way.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. It's nice.
You did.
I wanted to learn PHP and JavaScript and be a web designer because, you know, I just, you know, thinking maybe I want to get a better job, better myself, all that crap. But the problem, well, not really a problem, but what happened is, you know, so I get website, which same one that, you know, people go to now. And my intention was to, you know, write scripts and learn just using that website so that I have somewhere to, you know, to implement the things that I was trying to learn. And obviously I needed some content on the website or else, you know, it's nothing. So I just wrote this little article called Theory of Pants or something like that. The Theory of Pants. I don't seem like I changed the name. But anyway, it was just a little funny short article about how, you know, your pants that you wear don't need to be treated in terms of doing your laundry. You don't have to wash your pants as often as you have to wash your shirt and your underwear and stuff like that, and how, you know, you can wear pants for days and days and days without washing them because it's just not necessary. And I thought I made some pretty good points about it, and, you know, my wife said I was an idiot for putting that out there, but I liked it, and I thought it was funny, and it wasn't even really the point. So, and I had told a few people at work about the blog and said, hey, look, I wrote this article. Could you just go there and read it and, you know, whatever, like it or not, but just leave a comment. But a lot of people did like it. And, you know, and it was a lot of fun, you know, getting that
feedback.
Well,
because it's very creative, and we all have, especially in this population, in the ADHD population, we are very creative people. So out of the box, that was an out-of-the-box article. We're out-of-the-box thinkers, so we're going to love that kind of stuff. I mean, that's really what runs us. It's great.
Yeah, but the thing is, at this time, I mean, you know, I was aware I was ADD. Obviously, I was on medication just as I am now. But it wasn't really the purpose of it. It was just that was just what I wrote about, and people did like it. And I'd have people, you know, at work saying, hey, Tom. And they'd point to their pants and say, hey, Tom, day six, no wash. I said, in the comments and I really get a kick out of that. And I was studying a little more, and I just figured, well, maybe I'll just write another one. And I don't remember what the second one I wrote was, but and they just kind of went from there. And, you know, I just got to where I was just so, taken with the feedback from people that, you know, I just learning PHP and all that crap just didn't really interest me anymore. I just figured I'd just, you know, write funny stuff and maybe people would like it, you know. And,
yeah.
You know, and the website has grown, you know, in the year. It's I would have not believed, you know, then that it would be what it is now. But
right. And
I mean, I really wouldn't. I mean, so many things that I failed, and to think this was the thing that made it is, you know, kind of crazy.
So are you aware, but you were aware of the fact that you were affecting positively people with ADHD by what you were writing?
Well, at that point, you see, I just picked ADD as a random topic. You know, I write about a lot of random stuff, and I just said, well, you know, hell, I never really have written about my ADHD before, and you know, I'd read some things about it, but I just couldn't seem to find any of the things I was interested in hearing about out there. And you know, I don't left brain, right brain, and neuro this, and I don't know about any of that stuff, and I don't really care much about it. I'm
right.
not suggesting it's not important, but I just it didn't hold an interest for me. So, you know, I just wrote an article about the things that I thought were cool about it, and that article just did really well. And the group that I'm an administrator for on Facebook is the way that happened is a guy Mark Foster and Gail Knight, both of
yeah.
them read it and talked, and they said, well, maybe Tom will, you know, come on our page and be an administrator. And I didn't even know what that meant at the time, because I wasn't even really that involved with Facebook, and I honestly to this day don't even know how they ever, you know, came across my story. But
right.
anyway, it just resonated. So I just figured, well, maybe I'll just write about that periodically. And that's kind of what I've been doing. I don't just write about my ADD because, you know, I'm more than that. And it's, I don't, you know, I have a separate web page for, you know, ADHD articles, but, you know, I don't always publish them to that page. I mean, sometimes, I mean, I kind of go back and forth with them, but predominantly that's what I write about for that page is my ADHD.
Right. Okay.
And it's been just a lot of fun. It's been
yeah.
a lot of fun.
And you've gotten
and
a lot
are,
of, I
you
think,
know, tell me it's
feedback.
Helped them.
That's what
and
I'm
that's
saying.
Not
getting...
really what I set out to do was to help people. I just wanted to entertain people. But
right.
through that, people have been helped in spite of it. I mean, the story about Roman was just a true story, but people
right.
have been helped. You know,
and
it's,
I think
it's,
that's
it's,
great because you've really inspired other people with ADHD. And see, that's the whole thing is I don't think a lot of people listening really understand that if you get out there and you tell your story, when you're a real person, you're telling your story and you can, you know, make it a tale of woe and then add humor into it, it really helps other people to be able to talk about their own stuff, which is very powerful. It really is.
Right.
And that's what really hit me about you.
Right. And two times on that story, because it does start out kind of, you know, I mean, it's got a great ending, but, you know, the great ending is only a result of, you know, the things that were going on in me in the first grade. And I've had people who have, you know, told me, Tom, I really tried to read that article, but it was just too sad. It was, and I said, well, did you finish it? And, you know, well, no. I said, well, you should finish it, you know, because
right.
cause it
right.
doesn't end that way, you know. And I don't,
right.
I don't, you know, there's, I don't write any kind of doom and gloom. It's or any about not just with AD, but anything, you know. I mean, things
right.
that are just wrong or depressing. I just see no reason to write about that stuff. People can watch the stupid news if that's what they're into. I'm just not. I don't really care. I have a very small, range of focus. It's like, you know, my job and my family and my
right.
Xbox and my blog, and that's pretty much that's it. Then I'm good with
well,
that.
Well, you know,
I mean,
it's interesting what you just said about the news because, you know, the studies that they've done, and this is why always the news stories, they lead in with a negative, you know, because that's basically what sells and people want to watch that. They'll stay glued. And I believe, like you do, that I really like to, with these podcasts, I like to bring upbeat people on and people that are growing and are getting healthy and are loving life and feeling good about it and not feeling like, you know, because I focus totally on ADHD, that ADHD is a death sentence, because it's not. It's a gift.
Right.
And, you know, there are co-occurring disorders that go along with it, and there's some negative symptoms involved with it. But if you could stay in that positive place, it's such a better place to be, because It's going to help you live your life more productively. That's how I look at it.
Right. And, you know, and it's, I agree with you, Justine. You know, it is a gift, but, you know, today, you know, I say, yeah, it's a gift. But, you know, there was a time, you know, even obviously in school, I sure didn't see it as that way. Now,
right.
In school, I didn't know what it was, but had I known, it would not have appeared that way to me. I think the person I am today is a result of that. Make any suggestions that it wouldn't be. The thing is that, you know, when things were really bad for me, you know, because when I got out, you know, of school, you know, I really had no, you know, aspirations to go to college because, you know, all the people who I knew in school that were making plans to go to college and all that were all the people that I just couldn't even stand to be near. And I just had it in my head and that those are the kind of people that the colleges were going to be filled with. Why pay for the same abuse that I have gotten for free for 13 years? So it made it there was no way in hell I was ever going to college. There wasn't a chance that was going to happen. So, you know, my brother and I were, it was my senior year, my brother and I were driving around in the car, and he says, "Hey, Tom, let's go talk to the Marine Corps and see what they got to say." And I'm just like, "Donald, what do you want to do that for?" And he says, "Well, let's just, you know, let's go see." So we went in there, and I couldn't believe my brother. The guy starts talking. Donald says, "Well, let me just ask you a question first," interrupts this guy, and asks if you can smoke pot in the Marine Corps. That's my brother. I love him to death. Donald
is he
always,
younger than you?
Yeah, by a year and a half.
Okay.
And
okay.
Donald's always about creating a moment that will be memorable. And well, that was an example because I'll never forget the Marine who, this giant, giant Marine who stood up, picked up the phone and says, "Boy, I ought to throw this phone at you," you know. And I was like, "Oh, okay." So it calmed down, you know, and so we listened. But, you know, I got to thinking I had no real plans after high school anyway, so maybe I'll join the Marines, you know.
Right.
So I just decided I was going to do it. I got home, told my dad, and he says, "Well, hey, you know, Tommy, maybe you should just consider, like, another branch. Maybe just talk to them, you know, rather than just talk to one and then go like I was going to do." But,
right.
So I talked to the Army, and then I decided, well, screw it, I'm just going to join the Army because their boot camp is, like, 12 or 4 weeks shorter, so that'll be good. So that was what I told Dad, and Dad's like, "Oh, okay, Tommy, then, I guess, okay. Well, I can't ask you." So I went to the recruiter office. The guy was all excited. He says, "You know, I don't have the paperwork with me right now, but you come in tomorrow morning, and Saturday morning. Can you do that?" I said, "Yeah, what time?" He says, 7 o'clock. I said, "I'll be there." Well, I was in my car at 6:30 and waiting in the parking lot, and I saw a couple people go in, and so I went in, and I'm waiting on the guy, and it's like 7:15, 7:20. And, of course, I can't sit there and just wait all day because I've got a whole day of nothing to do. So I was just going to leave and figure I'll get with him on Monday. But on my way out of the place, the door to the Navy recruiter was open, and he says, "Hey, how you doing?" And I said, "You know what, screw that guy. I'm just going to join the Navy." And that's how I joined the Navy, just because the Army guy was late. So I joined the Navy.
You need to write this, Tom. This is a great story.
It's written. It's written. It's
I
in
love
the book.
This is great.
But anyway,
I love it.
That's how that happened. So, of course, I go home and tell Dad, I joined the Navy. He goes, "What the hell happened to the Army?" And I said, "The guy wasn't there, so I just joined the Navy." He goes, "Okay, Tom." He goes, I just didn't want you to, do anything, you know, on a whim. And I said, "Well, sorry." He goes, "Well, so anyway." But I did okay in the Navy. You know, the Navy was...
How long were you in the Navy?
Only 4 years.
Okay.
And
where did you go?
I was stationed in Hawaii on a submarine.
Oh, wow, Tom.
Yeah. And I did...
Great.
Did good in the Navy. Of course, you know, you go to sea, there's really nothing to do but your job. I mean, you know, it's not like I want to hurry up and get off watch so I can go do nothing. I mean, it was just nothing. It's just your work and your job, and that's pretty much all it is when you're out there at sea. So it was just wasn't really didn't have. I mean, there was a few things that happened. Nothing really major though. But you know, and of course, I wanted to get out because you know, hey, I was sure that you know everybody would want to you know hire me.
Right.
because I was in the Navy on a submarine, and I was an electronics, you know, or interior communications electrician. So, you know,
wow.
But it didn't really work out that way.
No.
They didn't care. They just wanted people. So, you know, I went from, you know, job to job, and you know, it was just awful. And, you know, but the point that I was making is, you know, I was just could not hold down a job. I mean, I would be at a job thinking I was doing great. You know, I mean, and guy comes and says, Tom, I got to talk to you. And he basically tells me I'm fired and it's time to go. And, but, you know, I guess got used to getting fired. It just wasn't even I didn't even really care anymore. It just wasn't a
did
big
you
deal.
Know,
I mean,
did you know why they were firing you? Did they explain
it to
you?
Well, they explained it to me then. I mean, of course, when they were firing me, they did explain it to me. And I got thinking, oh, yeah. Oh, well, yeah, I guess that.
Like, what were
but,
they
know,
saying?
But, you know, I had, but, huh?
What were they saying
Pardon?
To you? What were you doing wrong?
Oh, not being productive. Not, okay. You know, I mean, not getting enough done because I'm talking or paying attention or I don't know, taking breaks. I mean, any number of things. It's a long time ago. So many of it. I mean, and there were obvious, some things that were just quite obvious. I mean, you know, I was at this one job and guy was on the forklift and, you know, I asked him, I said, well, hey, let me drive the forklift. And he goes, well, all right. So I got on it, and I drove it like about 6 feet, and I said, all right, that's good. And he goes, okay. So, you know, eventually, of course, I got fired from that job for whatever reason. And I went back to the temp center because I had like 5 temp centers. So, I mean, I would get fired, but I would often have another job that day that I would start the following Monday.
Wow.
And, yeah, so it wasn't really a big deal to get fired because jobs were not difficult to find out here. And I remember the guy says, oh, man, well, I need somebody that can drive. Have you ever driven a forklift? And I said, well, I can't say I've operated. He goes, and the guy didn't care. He just needed a body in this. He goes, but you can drive it. And I'm like, I have driven it. He goes, all right. He told me where to be. So I'm on a forklift that I hadn't the clue. I'm playing with it to figure out how to make the, you know, and everything. So I ran over. It was a furniture place, and I remember, and I actually did okay the first day because I was really learning the machine, and I told I was a little slower, and I told everybody, hey, I'm sorry I'm not, you know, as fast as everybody else because those guys are just zooming around this warehouse filling orders.
Yeah.
And I said, he goes, oh, that's okay, man. You know, just make sure you do everything right, and the speed will get there. But, you know, I wanted to drive fast. You know, like those guys did. So I just started driving fast, and I kind of thought I was getting pretty good at it. But I take this corner, and I just barrel right through a desk, which was kind of badass if it wasn't like at my job. If it wasn't like a job, you know, if it was just something to do for fun, it was really awesome to smash through that desk. But they didn't appreciate it, and I figured, well, it was fun while it lasted, but they didn't fire me. You know, accidents happen, Tom. Hell, I'm thinking at this point, well, hey, this is where I'm going. If I can destroy a desk with a forklift, then all I got to do is show up every day, and I'll have a job.
So I had to get
a pallet of pardon?
Wait, I want to ask you a question, and this is
okay.
For everybody who's listening, okay? When were you fully diagnosed with ADHD? How old were you?
I was 29.
Okay. And so did that kind of open up your eyes? Did it kind of say like, oh, now I understand school and what happened? And
oh, yeah, everything made sense then. It was I couldn't even believe the, you know, because as it happens, there was a guy who was firing me at the time, and he's the one who told me that I had ADHD. As he was firing me, he explained to me this, which I thought was damn nice of him. I'm not going to get into what I did to him, but it's in the book and in detail. Actually, I think that's the very first chapter in the book is the story of how I got diagnosed of it. But after I destroyed that desk, the same day, I got a pallet down out of the overhead really high up, and when I backed out, I forgot to lower the forks, and I took one of those heaters out of the overhead, big giant heaters. You wouldn't have believed the noise that thing made when it landed. That thing was loud, and it hit the forklift and rolled off the side, and I'm sitting here like, I hope all I get is fired, you know. But they did not fire me. And I was quite encouraged by that. But then the next day, and I'm not joking, I ran over a broom and broke it in half, and they fired me.
Oh, no.
So, weird.
It doesn't make any sense at all.
I don't know, oh, I know, wow. But, you know, hey, I just figured I justified it like, well, hey, they let me break a desk and a heater, so, you know, I'm glad. I hope I'll be lucky if they even send me my paycheck for the 4 or 5 days that I was there. But, you know, I had a job that afternoon, so it was no big deal. You know?
Oh, wow.
It became hard to get a job. And, boy, it's tiring as hell to have to be looking for jobs and working, you know, at the same time. Because it's like, you know, I mean, I wouldn't even be at a job for a month usually or two. And sometimes I'd find a job that I could do and I probably wouldn't have gotten fired from. But I was just so bored doing it that I just left. You know, I had some money that I'd saved up when I was in the Navy because, you know, you can't really buy anything in the ocean. So I had a lot of money saved up, but that was dwindling. That's another reason. I mean, I get fired, and sometimes I wouldn't even look for a job for a couple of weeks. I'll just take a little vacation, and then I'll, you know, and of course, you know, money dried up, and, you know, and then, you know, but there was a year and a half where, I mean, I had to manage my money so tightly that, I mean, I never ran the heat in my apartment ever, you know, because I couldn't afford it. I never stopped. I couldn't, you know, there's, to be able to stop on the way, home from work and get a Coke from a gas station was a silly notion. I mean, it was really that tight. I had, you know, all I ate was hot dogs and, you know, I mean, because I just couldn't, you know, find any job that was going to, you know, pay me the amount of money that I needed to survive, you know? But, you know, it got down to where I had no money and anything, and I did find a job selling satellite dishes, and I did really well with that, so it really did pull me out of it.
Let me ask you this, because one of the things that I do notice is that I've met a lot of people who are ADHD, people that I work with who are in sales, and they're good salespeople because they have the great personality, but it's the follow-through, the paperwork, that can really kill some of these people when it comes to the sales job. So how was that for you? Did you have a lot of paperwork to do when you sold
Not with the satellite dishes, but, you know, and I was actually very good at that. But the problem was, of course, they started giving the dishes away for free and then just pay for the programming because they just got so big that the salesmen weren't able to get them sold fast enough. So that's just what they did for that, because what they really needed was the programming revenue, you know. But, you know, and I sold computers through distribution, and, you know, I was there for, 8 or 9 months, and I just got sick of it. I hated it, and, you know, there was an account that I got that was really big, and, you know, I really screwed it up because I didn't ship something I was supposed to ship, and, of course, they had all these temps hired in to build computers, and then that day, and then of course they can't do it because, well, I didn't ship the stuff they needed. So, and it got really, really tough then. But you know, eventually, you know, it was really tough for many years. But you know, and I got married, and that's just a whole other thing. A bad marriage and tons of stuff in that. And it's, of course, it's all in the book. But the book, you know,
Tell everybody that you've written a book, and when will it be published and ready for sale?
Well, I'm thinking this spring. I don't know, June just sounds like a good month for it, I guess, but I'm not 100% sure. I mean, it's written, and I'm in the final stages of editing, and I hope. I have to go. I'm going to be sending it back to the publisher for their review it's a done deal. I mean, it's going to happen. It is going to be published, and it's going to be a real book. So that'll be fun. You know, they're going to go through it and stomp all over it again, and then I'll have to fix it. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just, but the people I'm working with are just super people, at Redmond Productions. Have been helping me a lot with that, and I think we're just about there.
Tell everybody what the book is about.
It's about a lot of what I've been discussing today. The thing about I don't think when I started writing it that I think I was just sort of I'd been writing so much, and I figured, well, I was just gonna, I don't know, just I mean, I guess I planned to write the book when I first started writing it, but I didn't really plan on publishing it. I mean, I was just going to, you know, do like a lot of people do and just, you know, put it on Kindle for free.
Right.
You know, and it would really just more or less be a big giant blog that you could download on Amazon.com for nothing. And
right.
I figured maybe it would promote my website or whatever. And I started to do it, and then I just sort of said, you know, no one's going to want to read it anyway, and I just left it there. And I was needing a blog post to post, so I had the story about Roman in there, and of course I just, you know, took that out and copied and pasted over and fixed it up and then just posted it out with that picture of me on it.
Which is great.
Well, yeah, thank you. And people just, it just really took off, and that has just been an amazing story for my site. I mean, more people have come to my site from reading that blog than, of course, any other thing that I wrote. And that's when I got thinking, well, maybe there's, because it was an excerpt from the book, of course, and I got thinking, well, maybe, you know, maybe there's something to this. Maybe people might want to read this.
Yeah, I know
so
they will.
Now, so I got back on track and was writing the book and working on it a little bit, and I told one of my good friends, Val, that, you know, I was going to be doing this, and turns out, and she's with, you know, the publishing company, so it was, you know, she just said, hey, let us check it out. So I went ahead, and I had my vacation coming up from work, and, you know, every day I just wake up and, you know, go downstairs and have my coffee and check my email, and then my wife would go to work, and Brett would go to school, and, you know, I just, you know, take my medication, I'd come back up here, and I'd just stay on that computer all day long, and I did it for 6 days, and, you know, I had like 51,000 words at the end of 6 days, and that was the end of the
book.
So, yeah. And,
amazing.
I've never, yeah, and the thing is, I mean, in my whole life, I've read 6 books. You know, I don't read. I mean, I don't read. I can't. I mean, I've read 6 books. I could name every title to you, and I'll tell you, 4 of them were written by members of the Motley Crue band. You know, just
I love
because
it.
Because I can't read things that there's a wonderful, wonderful friend of mine who's an author, Jade Reiner, and I follow her blog, and you know, I really wanted to read her book because she wrote it, and I could not because it's a novel. I've never read a novel. I just can't keep the character straight in my head, and I just you know,
yeah.
I read the chapter, and after I finish with the chapter, I'm like, and it's, I mean, it's not just her book I couldn't read; it's any novel. You know, even
right.
the short stories in school, I couldn't read those things. And sometimes
right.
I'd forget I was supposed to, and I'd just try to read every other paragraph on the bus, hoping I'd be able to, you know, make at least a 50 on the test, which I rarely did. So.
Oh, God. I remember those days very well of not being able to retain what I was reading. That was very difficult. And I remember I tell people the first day I ever took Adderall when I was 40 years old, I cried that day because I picked up something to read it, and I was actually able to retain what I was reading. And I made it through college, barely, but I made it through college because I had parents who were on me all the time. You had to finish. And, you know, my dad did say to me, look, I'm giving you a gift that nobody can ever take from you. So he was right about that, and I appreciated that. But, you know, not everybody is cut out for college. Not everybody has to go to college. You know, and there's plenty of people out there who are very successful entrepreneurs and have not been to college. So, you know, it's just not something that is in everybody's path. And to come around to something, I read another blog of yours, which I thought, here's the message that I got from this blog, which I really appreciated, and that was the one about the career versus the job.
Oh, yeah.
The doctors. And the lawyers, you know, because when my boys would go to school, and they're 26 and 23 now, so they're more or less men, but I got some stories that would make you think they were still in elementary school. They would go to school every day, and being diagnosed, having ADHD, I would say to them when they left, hey, guys, school is what you do. It is not who you are. Big difference, because there's so many people out there who define themselves by their big house, by their, you know, expensive cars, not who they are, what's inside. So that's kind of the message. I thought that blog was really cool that I got from that blog was the message of the difference between what you do and who you are. which was great.
Okay. Hey, let's take a call.
Oh, do we have a call? Do we have somebody here that wants to talk to us? We have two people on here, I think. Yeah. Okay. Okay, my husband's finding out. My producer is finding out if we've got. I know that Gail had said she had let me know that she was going to call in. So,
yeah, I just got that message.
Wait, hang on. Here she is, I think. Is that Gail? Okay. Is she on? Okay. Hi, Gail.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Good.
We're good.
Good.
So you have a question for Tom?
I talk to him every day.
Okay. Do you have a comment that you want to make?
Huh?
Do you have something that you wanted to talk about with us? It would be great.
Oh, I've been writing him little comments, but he hasn't seen them yet on his Facebook. So, happy Blondiversary.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Hey, okay, so you guys are talking about how much this blog has helped people, and I am one of those people. He has inspired me so much to not think of ADD as a curse, but as a blessing and as something to celebrate and enjoy. So I just really appreciate that about him. He's been one of my best
friends. So funny. He's great. He has such a great approach to it. Yeah, he really does.
He's a good counselor, too.
He what?
I said he's a good counselor, too.
Yeah, which is great. And that's what I say. I said to him before is that, you know, and anybody who's listening, if you have a story and you get out there and you put it down, it's can really help people feel like they're kindred spirits and they can open up and get a hold of you and talk to you, and that's mm-hmm. such an important part of this.
Yeah. He actually inspired me to start my own blog, so I don't write as often as he does, but
that's great.
I don't write very often.
You don't?
You don't write very often?
I don't know. Not every day. I mean, I just kind of write when I get inspired to do it.
Yeah, me too. But you
I love your blog, Gail.
Do you read it?
I do.
I know you have.
I do!
Okay, Susan, we've got Susan on the line, but can we put two on or just... No. So we've got somebody else waiting to talk to you. Yeah, we've got somebody else waiting to talk to. So is there anything else you want to talk to Tom about, Gail? Or if not, I've got somebody else that's on hold waiting to talk to him.
Go ahead. I have to stay on the line so I can listen.
Okay. We'll pick you back up then.
Yeah, I'll just mute you.
Okay.
Take care. Bye.
All right. Thanks, Gail. Hi, Susan.
Yes.
Hi. How are you?
Hi. I'm doing good.
Good. Did you want to talk to Tom?
Yes, I'd like to talk to Tom.
He's
Hello,
right there
Mom.
For you.
Hello, Tom.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm just so happy that you got to get on air and talk about your book.
Is this really your mother?
Yes, it really is.
This is my mother.
That is so great. I love
this. This is my wonderful mother.
Oh, this
well,
is so
now,
great.
I don't know that I've always been wonderful, but I am very proud of him. And,
you should be. He's a great guy.
You know, I hope that he can help people with his book because, now I haven't read it, but I'm sure it's humorous because he always entertains the family when he's in a good mood, which is not every time. But when he's in a good mood, everybody cannot stop laughing at all his
very
stories
funny. Really
and everything
is.
That he talks about. He can be funny, but... You know, I'm just wanting to let him know that I'm thinking about him. Happy to be listening, and love you very much.
I'm so glad. Listen, I want to ask you a question.
Yes.
Being a mother of a boy who had ADHD, and I know years ago, like I always say, Tom's a lot younger than me, but I'm 59, and back in the Stone Age, they had no idea that ADD even existed. What was it like for you watching him growing up and struggling?
Well, you know, I don't know, he didn't, Tom always, I mean, I knew that he was forgetful. I knew that he was disorganized. I knew that he had, that he struggled, but Tom never talked to us about any problems he had outside in the school. I never knew that he was bullied or made fun of, or I never knew all that. Every time everything's good. Yeah, everything's great. And later in his life, you know, even when he had married and wasn't happy, he's, everything's outstanding, just outstanding. So I'm like, well, great. Right. And, you know, a mother wants to, you know, believe that. So,
yes. Yeah, absolutely.
All I want is for him to be happy, and I think he's pretty happy now.
I think so, too. And I think he's on a really good road, too.
I'm very happy.
And I know that he will be happy to help others. That's what it's all about. If you get a handle on something, then you can help others with their problems. It makes them feel that they're not alone. Because I know in some of my problems, I always felt, well, I'm alone, but I'm not.
Right.
You know, there's always somebody that has that problem. So
that's exactly right. And I'm so glad that you called in. It was so nice to meet you over the phone.
It's nice to meet you. And thank you for reading his blog and making him feel special. Because
he's
a very, very wonderful kid.
He really is a special guy. You know, he has a certain gift. He has a gift.
Oh,
he really does. So.
He has lots of gifts.
Yeah.
So, I'm glad to see that he's able to do what he's doing. And I just wanted to let him know on air that I'm very proud of him.
Oh, that's great.
Thanks, Mom.
Thank you so much.
Okay, hon.
Bye,
love
Mom.
You.
Bye. Love you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
That's great. That was so nice of her to do that. That's really special.
Yeah,
it really
I'm
is.
Impressed that, yeah. I'm impressed that she was able, that she got all the message and notation and got it all. You know, she's not very technically savvy, but that's really nice that she called.
I'm really happy. Hey, listen, I want to ask you about your marriage, okay?
All right.
One of the things that I do a lot of work with are couples that have ADHD, and I have a lot of podcasts on relationship issues, and you seem to have a really good marriage. I know the first one wasn't great, but what's great about this one, and why is it working so well, would you say?
Well, you know, after the first one, which was just a tragic tale of disappointment. But, you know, Yvonne, I knew her because I worked for her. And, you know, after I got my first review at work, I just didn't like it. Of course, I wasn't satisfied, so I was just going to quit that job, you know, like I did all the other ones.
Right.
But, you know, working with her, and we worked third shift. I switched to third shift because I figured it would be easier to find another job if I had my days free. But working with her, I really enjoyed working with her, so I didn't really look for another job. I became, you know, really content there. And, of course, I'm still at Home Depot now, 15 years later. But, you know, of course, and I talked to her a lot about, you know, problems in my marriage and everything. And, you know, after my wife left me, which was such an awesome thing when it happened, you know, I just kind of called her to let her know about it. And, you know, I really did love Yvonne. I always did. And, you know, I thought I'd want to date her. So I, you know, I asked, and we just started dating. And, but, you know, she's ADD also, you know, and, you know, and she's got anxiety disorder, and, you know, but she, you know, she's perfect. I mean, she's my best friend, and
it's so great.
You know, she's so supportive of you know what I do, and it was strange because, you know, it's like now. I mean, and of course she sometimes has to bide for my time a little bit, and I hate that. But you know, it used to be because, you know, she'd see me go, you know, running out to GameStop and picking up the new games that came in, and then, you know, and she was, you know, just get irritated that I, you know, you're up there playing, I guess you're going to play the Xbox all, you know, and it's like all the time. But then, you know, when I started this, you know, the blog and the writing and everything, well, you know, now she just says, I don't care what you do, just do something productive. Well, I kind of am now.
Right.
But now it's like, you know, it's almost, so I joke around with her and say, you know, it's like I can't win. You know, I mean, it's like, so I'm doing nothing and you don't like it. Now I'm doing something and you don't like it. But, right. You know, I do sometimes have to put the laptop down, and we do, you know, do stuff together and spend time together and all that. But she has just been a great cheerleader for all this. And,
That's great. She,
you know, not in every aspect of it, but, I mean, and every now and then I'm able to get her involved with my blog, which people do seem to like. You know, when my wife's on the blog, or when she's, you know, it's about her, or, you know, I know we had that that thing that resulted in a couple of videos that I put out. With the whole thing, and the story about that is that, you know, I was just home one day, and I got this text from her. She was just at the MD or the doctor's office. She felt bad or something, and she was just going to get checked up, and so they can just give him, you know, pay the copay, give her a pill, and that's the end of it. I don't like doctors, but anyway.
Right.
She texted me that she's going to be going to Walmart so she can buy a new mixer. And I'm like, well, what? I mean, I know we got a mixer. I said, well, she goes, I can't find it. I said, you're going to go to Walmart because you can't find the mixer. You're going to buy a mixer because you can't find your mixer? You know, and she said, I looked all over the house. So I said, well, look, if I go find, this is a text going back and forth. And I took pictures of the text thing and I posted that on the blog, but I'm not in front of it right now, but you know, it was like, look, if I go find it, you know, will you not go buy one? You know, cause I'm just a cheap bastard. And, she said, yeah, go look, but I'm leaving in, you know, 2 minutes or whatever. So I ran downstairs and I'm looking, I found like one of the beaters. And I found this other thing that I thought was a mixer, but it was apparently a mixer, but it's some hot chocolate mixer. I mean, they make a mixer for hot chocolate to stir hot. What the hell is that? So, but anyway, I thought it was a mixer, and I took a picture of it with my phone, and I texted it to her, and she goes, no, hell no. She was getting mad. Hell no, that's not a mixer. So I just got that beater, and I stuck it in my drill, and I took a picture of it, and I sent it to her, and I said, look, what about that? You know, because I just don't want her to go pay money for a damn mixer.
That's great.
And
that's
so
great.
She sees
sure.
this mixer, and you know, it's like, what about this? I sent her a picture of it, and she goes, no, nice try. And I'm like, well, that's just great. Well, as it turned out, she didn't go get the mixer, and she didn't bake it. So the next day, when I got off work, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to make that cake for her, but I'm going to use the damn mixer in my drill that she said wouldn't work, because I know it will. And I don't know, I just... Before I got started, I just got in my head about making a little video for her benefit, but then I got thinking, well, man, that'll make a pretty cool blog post, you know, this whole thing.
Yeah.
And I've got the text messages, and I've got the video, so, and that one did really well. And then, of course, there
That's
was
great.
A little follow-up one
yeah.
when she
it's
did
a great
the
story.
Thing with making the tabbouleh, you know, and that was a lot of fun. And I think she's wrote a couple of articles just about me, just from her perspective as it pertains to, you know, ADHD and the things. And I know Mark Foster is a dear friend of mine, and I know one of his absolute favorite blog post I ever wrote was about the cats, with the cat litter. My wife went out and bought a big giant, you know, the big family pack of ground beef.
Yeah.
She brought it home, and, you know, she goes, well, Tom, here, she takes this thing of ground beef and says, look, I'm going to go and, I got to, you know, get my laundry folded, and I got to take a bath, and would you mind making up hamburgers and cooking them? Well, I said, okay, yeah, sure. So she hands me 6 pounds of ground beef and asked me to make hamburgers. So I made 6 pounds of hamburgers. She obviously did not intend for me to use the entire 6 pounds to make 17 hamburgers or however many it made, but I had that grill just full. And as she comes out of her room to eat, I've got a giant plate stacked with burgers on it, and she looked at me like I owed her money. And and she goes,
oh my
you
God,
gotta be kidding me. And I'm like, what? I said, they're done. You know, she goes, you. She just couldn't believe that I made all these hamburgers. Now, I didn't really think it through. I didn't, you know, I'm just,
right.
You know, I told her, I said, look, I'll eat them. I'll get them eaten. I'll eat them. And that's not what she was worried about, you know. So she got so mad, she took the plate out of my hand and threw them in the garbage can. Just all 17 hamburgers. I mean, it was so important, right? And she just tosses them all in the garbage. She was just furious.
Oh, my God.
And she just threw them in the garbage can and then went into her room.
Oh, my God.
So I'm just standing there with with the spatula in my hand, just not believing what just happened. And so then she comes out of the bedroom and, you know, where she had stormed off because, and then she came out of the bedroom and then she got the cat litter box. And I'm like, what the hell is she doing? She brought the cat litter box into the kitchen, poured everything that was in the litter box into the garbage can with those burgers on it. Okay? And then she ties up the bag and then shakes the bag up. And I said, what are you shaking it for? She goes, because I know you're going to try to fish one out that doesn't have it on there. She wanted to make sure that all these burgers were rendered non-edible. And I just, and I'm sitting here like, I mean, and all this happened like in 3 minutes of me coming in from outside. And I'm sitting there, standing there in the room with nothing to eat after having spent that time cooking these burgers with nothing to eat. So now that kind of stuff doesn't happen a lot. But that was an early on. But she has, you know, all the stuff that I do and that I, you know, neglect to do or don't find important, I think I have worn her down over the years because the things
I love that
because
story.
Because the things that she lets slide now, I mean, I would have never believed that they would, you know, I mean, just, you know, she just, oh, yeah, okay, you know, I
yeah.
guess so, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
I mean, me and Brett, when we got great. Fireworks and we took one of her, this pot, she bought it at Goodwill, right? She bought this pot at Goodwill. It'd been in the garage with the rest of the stuff she bought at Goodwill for a year, okay? So I went in the garage looking for something we could blow up with these fireworks because we got tired of just shooting them up in the air and watching them make pretty designs or whatever. So I took one of those shells. And me and Brett went outside, and you should have seen it. We lit that thing, and it blasted this pot up in the air like 50 feet or so. We couldn't believe it. We were laughing. Not only that, but it tore the side of that thing open.
Wow!
It was a tear in this metal pot.
Wow!
And I just thought that was amazing. And when I brought it inside to show my wife, she did not find it amazing. She was actually quite pissed off about it, and the reason it had been in the garage is because she forgot about it. So she had a perfectly good pot, and she didn't know about it, but I brought it to her attention after I destroyed it.
It's very funny. You
yeah,
have
but,
a lot of fun
cool.
in your life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I like
Vaughn's,
it.
She's just so great. Vaughn's
so
wonderful.
Great. I would love to talk to her someday. We have two people on hold, so
okay.
we're going to talk to Robert first from Facebook. So can you put Robin on for me? Hello? Hey, Robert,
Justine?
How you doing? Yeah.
Okay, how are you? Small world. We're all on the same Facebook page. We're all a family on that Facebook page.
I know.
Robert, how are you?
All right, how are you doing, Tom?
Very well.
You are so funny.
I appreciate that. He's the best.
Yeah, I mean, I'm listening to you. You are an excellent storyteller.
I do appreciate that too. I really am. I really appreciate that. You got a question
yeah.
or a comment or anything, or
no, that
you just want to you just want to help me inflate my ego?
That was my big comment.
I really appreciate you calling in, man.
Yeah, because
yeah.
as Justine knows, I've been with my support
yeah.
group for a long time, and I can tell when a person has a natural talent, and that's your natural talent. You're a great storyteller.
Yeah,
well,
he really is.
That's, nice of you to say. Very, very,
yeah.
really appreciate that.
He's also a really good writer, and he's really good at helping people, too. So he's got a lot of gifts.
Well, I mean,
he's a great guy.
He has his blog, and he has his website and everything else. So, I mean, a lot of us follow it. So, yeah, of course. But
yeah.
I just wanted to call and say hello so you could hear a voice behind my screen name and let you know that I'm a real person here.
Yeah, I know. I heard you on her show a while back. Yeah.
Fair
yeah.
enough. All right.
Hey,
thanks,
take care, Robert.
For,
it was good to talk to you.
Thanks
for calling in.
All right, thank you. All right, bye-bye.
All right, bye. So now we have Olga. She doesn't have a question.
All right,
she wants to make
Olga.
A comment. Do you know Olga?
I know. I love Olga. Olga.
Olga.
Olga is great. Olga, are you there?
I am. Hey, Tom.
How's your new job going, lady?
My new job's going great. I'm so glad to hear it. I just wanted to call to tell you that, yes, I am supporting you by listening, but I also wanted to tell you thanks for giving us a place that we can go to when we have concerns and ideas that we can share. It's been a real challenge with my new job. I have not yet said anything to them about my diagnosis, but you've kind of followed my progress and the steps that I'm taking to stay on top of all my organizational skills. And it's just really nice to know there are other people like me out there that are having the same struggles.
There's a lot of people like you, Olga, out there, believe me. And this is what's so great about this whole Facebook thing, because it really makes it easy for everybody to talk to each other, encourage each other, cry to each other, laugh with each other. It's a great thing. It really is.
Yeah, and Olga, don't. Now, Olga, you've got. Now you had the job that you're at before you were going to it. You had actually messaged me and asked me about should you take it, because it was in a lot of. Do you want to talk about that or tell everybody that story?
Sure. Yeah. I work in a dental office, and I handle insurance verifications issues, and it requires somebody to be really organized. And my concern was, I'm not on the outward side organized, and yet my other thing was that I have to have systems in place that I can understand, that have a logical way of my thinking that I can relate to. The outside person might not see the logic in it. And I said, Tom, is that organized? And he said, well, yeah, you know, you do have it. And I know as an ADHD person, we compensate a lot for things. And I have found a way to keep myself organized and on task. I make lists. I set up Excel worksheets that I can have passwords and phone numbers that I can link to. And it's been a challenge, but I'm doing it.
But it's a new, it's the cool thing. Oh, it was a new office, and you actually got to implement these systems so that, isn't that right?
Yeah, it's a new position for this office, so I'm kind of writing the book as we go. They have certain expectations, and those are great. I know the job. I know the language. I do it very well, but having to set up systems for myself so that I can keep on track and stay on track and be organized in a cohesive manner has been real important for me in this position. And it's working. It's, you know,
that's great.
It's an adjustment. But
that's
it is
great,
working.
Olga,
it's
I could
hard.
Not be more proud of you. Thanks so much for reading me and for calling in.
Yeah,
that's so nice.
I'm glad you're doing well. Thanks for having me on your show, and I'll enjoy following it the rest of the session
okay.
today.
Great.
You're welcome.
Take
Hi,
care,
Tom.
Olga. Thanks for calling in.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Olga.
So now we have somebody on hold that you know, Jennifer, who is your cousin.
Jennifer.
And she has two children that are ADHD, she says? Yeah.
Yeah,
is Jennifer?
Yeah.
Is she there or are you waiting? Okay. Hey, Jennifer.
My daughter has... Hi, my daughter
How are
has,
you?
Hi, very good.
Good.
Thanks for having me on. I wanted to support Tommy.
I'm so glad.
My daughter has ADD. She's diagnosed, and one of my grandsons has it as well.
Okay.
I have it, but I have never been diagnosed.
Okay.
And it was interesting, while I was waiting, I was listening to to Olga. And I could totally relate with what she was saying about it. I do an administrative job as well.
Wow.
And you pretty much have all of these systems in place to make it all work. But, you know, if somebody tried to come behind you to understand it, they wouldn't.
They can't.
But, you know, it works for me.
That's great. No, it's really important that everybody come up with their own system. It's like people will say to me, because I have a book that I write all my appointments in, and my clients will say to me, why don't you use your phone? And I say, because I'm from the Stone Age, and we didn't have computers and phones back then. So this is the way I do it, and I can't get used to putting appointments in my phone. So everybody does things differently. I mean, I'm very happy with the way it works for me. But for other people, they're very technology-based, and I'm not.
You'll get there. Just keep going.
Yeah.
There's a lot of – we compensate a lot. Sort of exist in the world and do a good job. And it just, it takes a lot more effort. You know, when I go to write something, I read it like 100 times, you know, as I'm writing it. It's more maybe than is even necessary.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I thought it might be interesting to just kind of, you know, he has a family that has history of this, you know.
Yeah, which is, it's usually very genetic. So it is.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. Yes, yes. And it seems like Tom has a lot of people in his family who really love him and support him. And he's just a great guy.
He is.
Are you still there, Tom?
Hi, Tommy.
I'm here. I'm listening.
Okay. Two girls get going and we lose the guy.
I appreciate all
doing?
That, Jennifer. I'm doing good.
Yeah. I'm just sort of, you know, supporting him from afar. You know, I live
in
Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay.
And I heard about this radio show today, and I just wanted to participate.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad you called in because his mom called in. That was great.
He
loved talking to his
Susan.
Mom.
Yeah.
And we had a couple other people that know him well that called in, which is great. I'm excited when we get phone calls. It's great. You're one of the few people, Tom, that I've gotten phone calls with. So.
Oh, well,
consider
that's
yourself
great.
Very lucky.
All right, I do. I consider myself very lucky.
Good job.
Yeah. So do you, are you close with your niece that has ADD, Tom? I mean, do you see her?
Oh, yeah. Ashton, matter of fact, she's writing her thesis on that, I believe. And she and I had talked for, gosh, I think it seemed like a couple of hours about, you know, getting all that, you know, her outline or whatever together. And I actually referred her to some people in a couple of the groups and pages that I'm with. So as far as I know, that's still, you know, still going on.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've
heard
doctorate?
From her since. So, you know, either I encouraged her to write it or she has abandoned the notion because of my advice. I don't know. But I think, you know, but I'm sure Ashton's a great, great, great person.
Is she getting her doctorate?
Bachelor's.
Oh, her bachelor's. Okay, terrific.
Yeah.
This is awesome. Maybe she'll go on someday, too, to get her master's or her doctorate and help people with ADHD, you know? I have to tell you, I think that when people call themselves ADHD experts and they don't have it, I don't understand that. Because I couldn't help the people I help unless I understood what it was like every day to get up and have it.
Right.
And navigate my world. Right. Yeah. 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 So thank you for calling in.
Yes, thank
You're
you,
welcome.
Jennifer. Good to hear from you.
I love you, Tommy.
Love you, too.
Take care.
Take care. Thank you. You have some really supportive people in your life, Tom.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Jennifer's always been great. Me and her have always been close.
Now, how is she related to you?
She is my mother's sister, Sherry. It's her daughter.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's great. That's really great. I love, and it just does run in families. I know in my family, a lot of my nieces and nephews have it, and we're waiting to see what happens with their kids now.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see what happens, but... So, I wanted to ask you about the videos, if you would tell everybody what you're doing.
But the ones on the blog?
Yeah, and I think you were going to expand on them a little bit, you told me, too.
Oh, yeah, you know, it's my brother Philip, he had gotten me for Christmas a pair of sunglasses that had a built-in camera on them.
Oh.
And I have some ideas for things I'm going to do, but I've just, you know, first I was battling. There's one thing in particular, but and I've sort of been researching the legalities of that because I don't want to get myself in any kind of trouble and then, you know, post the evidence on my blog. but I thought it would be really funny to dress up in my onesie pajamas and go and get my prescription for my ADHD medication filled while wearing my onesie pajamas. And I figured with the sunglasses, because, you know, one thing that I've gained a lot of insight is by being involved in the groups that I'm with, because, you know, they, you know, things that that they don't, you know, things that I don't experience, you know, of course other people do. And one thing that I've heard a lot of people mention is when they go to the pharmacy to get their ADHD medication filled, that they get like dirty looks, you know.
Really?
And
I've never experienced that, but go ahead.
I have not either, but apparently a lot of people do when they're picking up medication for their daughter or their son or even themselves. And, you know, I read that it was one day that Yvonne and I was downstairs and just checking my comments, and then someone had just mentioned, not to me, but just in this group discussion, that they got dirty looks from these people who were you know, when they're vacation. I'm like, well, that's kind of weird. So I don't know. I just closed Facebook and opened up my Microsoft Publisher, and I just said, Yvonne, let's think of 10 funny things. I said, let's think of just 10 funny things that we could say to the pharmacist when we're picking up our ADHD medication. And we came up with them. And I did post that on my – a lot of people who follow my – particularly my ADHD blog have seen it. And it's the top 10 things to say to the pharmacist when you pick up your ADHD medication. You know, and I think one of them was like, I bet you wish your doctor was as cool as my doctor. You know, I mean, that kind of stuff. Just – or, you know, hey, hey, is it okay if I – could you go ahead and ring up this 12-pack of Red Bull, this bottle of B12, and, you know, I mean, just a bunch of other, you know, stimulation kind of things with it. And that did really well. And
that's great.
And I'll tell you, a lot of the motivation behind those – the pictures, because I didn't really do I hate the memes or whatever they call them. I hate that name. But anyway, I just call them pictures.
The selfies.
Yeah, well, not the, you know, like the picture and then the thing says something funny. Yeah. And
yeah.
I started doing those one of the motivation behind that was one of my favorite people on Facebook is Gina the Extreme Mom, and I love her page and I love her groups.
You've
and
talked
I spend,
to me about her, yeah.
Yeah, and I spend a lot of time in those groups, and that's where I know Olga, who just called in from, and she had done those and just you know, had become huge. I mean, her page is like over 100K people had liked it. And I just had a few ideas about them, and I didn't want to post I don't care what people post, but I just figured if I was going to post those things, I figured I could just make them up, and that was just an example of one of them. There's been a few that have done really well, but, you know, that's sort of how all that went down. I think that, you know, the top 10 things to tell your pharmacist was like, I was like the second or third one that I did. It's just not, every now and then I think of one, I just stick it out there.
So the videos then, you said you got a sunglasses with a camera.
Yeah, so that's, because... You know, the thing with Yvonne and me doing the thing with the mixer, and then her with the mixer, that was this thing. I just figured, you know, I might be doing some things with the video, and I've been working on the trailer for my book, which you've seen. I sent that to you.
Yes, it was great.
You know, that animation thing with my character. That, you know, and if I ever think up a title for my book, you know, I'll go ahead and probably get that out there. But I'm just hitting a wall with the title, you know, it's important.
Wow.
So,
okay.
And I've been so focused, you know, on the book, and I think up names for the title, but then I'm able to just, I give them a day, and the next day I just think they're stupid. So I don't know what I'm going to do about that. My publisher assures me that we will come up with a title, and she is
not
worried
about it. You will.
It'll
come to you like when you least expect it, it will, your creative mind will bring it up to you. Not a problem. Yeah. It'll come. So the videos... The one that I saw, which was the trailer, that's more or less going to go hand in hand with the book when it comes out.
Yeah, and it does, and that was the purpose of that. It wasn't that it was to be a trailer for the book. That's just one thing that Redmond does with they do their own trailers for books, and I suspect they'll do one for mine. But I you know, I do know about video editing and stuff, so I just did want to give that a shot, and I'm real happy with where it is so far.
Yeah, no, and I got to see it, and I laughed. I thought it was great. I really did. I really enjoyed it, and I enjoy everything you do. I have a question because we have a little bit of time, and there's no more callers online. Seems like,
okay.
But so you went on medication like when you were diagnosed when you were 29?
Oh, no. No, I didn't go on medication until way, way later.
Okay.
Wait a minute. I told you 29. Yeah, you know what? I have to look in my book. I know it's in there accurately. At 29, when I got diagnosed, when I was getting fired and I was, you know, he mentioned about ADD. That's when I heard about it. I was 29 when I got diagnosed by a doctor. But it was years, and I did go on medication right away. But
okay.
I knew that I was ADD well before that, when I was getting fired from that job, and I think I was like 23 or 24 at the time. But I didn't really do anything about it, and I knew I was ADD, and it was an eye-opening experience and all that, but I did not want to be on medication. I was anti-medication.
Okay.
I didn't want to do the medication. I had no interest. I'd never done any kind of drugs in my life, so I did not want to just start now and then have to do it, you know, with a doctor, but you know, things just weren't getting. I'd buy books. You know, that was my thing. I'd just get this notion in my head. You know, I'm just going to buy a book, and I'm just going to, you know, sort of improve myself that way. And of course, I'd go buy a book, and you know, like I'll tell you, the first book I ever bought. I mean, I bought it because I just heard about it when I got fired. I went straight from getting fired to the bookstore, and I bought a book about it. And of course, I went home and I didn't read the whole thing, but I just read through some of the symptom stuff, and I read them over and over because I just couldn't believe it. Okay, but years later, when things are just going really bad and things with my marriage, I just had this idea that I'd go out and buy a book, and I think I went out and bought Driven to Distraction. But you know what? I didn't read the first page because I brought it home and something else, and I never saw the book again. I don't know where it is or where I'd lost it. But other books that I bought,
that's,
you know, I'd start to read
story.
Them and maybe read the first chapter and say, oh, yeah, well, that's pretty good. And then I'll never pick them back up. And I got a box full of them in my closet that I don't even know what their names – I forgot what the names of them are anymore. I just have no interest in reading about it, I guess.
No, I believe me, you know what I'm better with is books on tape is what I'm better with. I really enjoy it much better. Do you –
Right.
So you're on meds right now, right? Correct?
Yeah, I take Adderall.
Okay. So every day, as you go through your day, what would you say is your biggest challenge with attention deficit?
Well, my standards are so low; it's hard to gauge. But it's irritability.
Okay.
It's just being annoyed by things that I really shouldn't be annoyed about. It's like my wife, if we plan on going somewhere, she'll just by default, Tom, have you taken your meds? Well, no, darling, but I feel fine. She goes, okay, great. Where are they? I'll get them for you. She'll bring me a pill and a glass of water because she's not going to put up with it. And she's right. She's right.
Yeah.
I feel fine. But, you know, it's like, you know, the whole time we're out, I'm thinking about my chair. And I'm irritated about because every place that we go in my head, that's the last place we're going because we're going home next. But then when we get out to the car and she mentions some other place, I'm like, oh, crap, we're not going home. And I can't deal with it. When I take my medication, I'm generally okay about it for a longer period of time anyway.
So emotional regulation is something that is big for you. So being able to regulate your emotions when you don't feel good, you have low frustration tolerance, and then you take your meds and feel better.
That's the main thing. I mean, I enjoy the work that I do, and I like my job, and for the most part, and I do very well at it, and it's fun. But you know, there have been days that I've gone into work, and I come out of the after I clock in, I walk out there, and I see a customer walking towards me. And I'm just like, oh my God, that guy is going
to
ask me a question. You know,
I can't.
I mean, I know that's the thing. I'm there to answer the question. I mean, that's why that is my job, is to talk to people and teach them stuff or explain stuff. And I in my head, I'm like, I can't. That guy he's walking right to me, and he's got that I need some help look in my eye, and he's going to say words to me, and I'm going to have to hear him. Okay. But it's that's what's going on in my head. But I've been there long enough now to know, and I love my job, and I love doing it. Okay.
Which
I really
great.
there's nothing. This is the best job for me to have, because you know I'm in a place where I get to use my brain and I get to teach people about things and help them to learn how to do them, and I enjoy
which
doing
is great.
It. Okay. But you know it's when I first get there it's a little tough, but. And if I don't have my meds, you know, a lot of times when I'm not helping a customer, I'm spend my time thinking of possible ways that they might cut time and tell me I can go home now. Hey, Tom, how would you like to go home early? Which doesn't happen a lot, but, you know, it's that. I mean, I just don't want to be there. But if I have my meds, I'm usually just, you know, I'm okay. And everything's little to nothing bothers me.
So they really, it really works for you, which is great.
Yeah, and it's really funny. I mean, it's just because it's like, and it used to be that I'd just be really depressed, you know, or just really upset or angry about something that was a silly thing. And I know if I took my medication that I'd be okay about it. But you know, sometimes I just want to be angry about that thing because I know
right.
it's just wrong. And I think if I take my medication, then I won't be angry about it, and I ought to be angry about it, which is so silly. But you know, but if I take my medication twice a day, I'm like a fully functional person, never having too many problems. You know, do real well with the
That's
you know
great.
Family. And being a father though was a kind of a challenge though, because it was like you know I'm in a position where I really have to care now. I mean, I have to manufacture. Some concern about something that
how
I don't
old is
care
your,
about.
How
now,
old is your son?
Well, he was 9, and I don't mean manufactured care, concern or care about Brett. I love Brett. He's a great kid.
Right.
But, you know, like he brings home a bad report card. Well, I get it. Believe me.
Right.
I've had my
right.
share of bad report cards. And I got to be, you know, and that was a real big challenge for me because, you know, I had up to that point just scarcely managed myself, and now I have this 9-year-old who's looking to me for answers, and I'm like, well, man, I feel sorry for this little kid, you know. But,
right.
you know, I did it well, and I did it, I really just used the playbook that my father used, and I'd forgotten so much about what my father had said to me. Much of it I remembered, but I had forgotten so many things, and I remembered them, remembered specific things that he said because I heard them coming out of my mouth, things that I had not thought about
right.
in so long. You know,
that's the best part of being a parent. Hey, listen, we've got somebody that wants to give you a shout-out. Jenna?
Okay.
Okay. You want to put Jenna on, honey?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Okay. Hey, Jenna. Hello. Hi.
It's Jenna Knight.
No. Can you hear me?
Jenna who?
Yes. Can you hear me? Hi, Jenna. Yes, we can hear you.
It's Gina.
Oh, Gina.
Gina.
I'm sorry.
Your mom.
I'm sorry.
Who
I'm
going to
fire my producer, who's my husband. He
That's
spelled
okay.
the name wrong.
That's okay.
How are you?
I was totally mumbling. He's,
is this Gina?
This is Gina. Yeah, it was Tanya.
Oh, okay. Hey, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I just thought I'd call him, and because he's just making me laugh my head off here.
I know. He's so funny. He's very funny. I know. That's why I was so excited about having him on the show, because we don't have a lot of shows where we laugh a lot, and I love that. That's my favorite thing to do. So this has been a really good show.
That's
gone
great.
By so fast, too. It's almost over. I can't believe this.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Okay, and here's somebody else that we've got on the line, too. So I didn't know, Gina, did you want to say something directly to Tom? Because I've got
no,
somebody else.
No, I didn't have anything really to say to him. I just wanted to, you know, say, hey,
okay.
You're doing a great job. You're making me
Thanks.
Crack up. And that's really about it. So,
well, thank you,
go,
Gina.
Tom.
It means a tremendous amount that you called. I love you, lady. I think you're great.
Awesome.
Thank
you. Just
you.
Keep up the good work, Tom.
Thank you.
Thanks for
okay,
calling
bye-bye.
In, Gina.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi. Hi, this is Justine.
Hey,
who's this?
This is
who's
Allie.
This?
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Allie.
Is this Allie
Tom,
Cole?
Tom, this is Allie.
It is Allie Cole.
Allie Cole, how are you?
I'm very good, and I'm so excited to hear you on Blog Talk Radio. And
right.
I just wanted to tell Justine that, you know, I'm just so glad that you're having him on tonight. He cracks
oh,
us
yeah.
all up. We're on
oh,
some
I love
of the
Tom.
Same Facebook groups. And, you know,
yeah.
one thing that I can't wait for his book. But one thing that I love about Tom is that his sense of humor and his sarcasm, he picks up on all the annoying things that adults with ADHD have to deal with every day. And it's the kind of stuff that we can't complain about to our regular, you know, neurotypical friends because they're not going to get it. But
that's exactly right.
So, like, when he said, oh, my God, this person's going to ask me a question, you know, that's
how we go. I know.
I feel. Yeah,
I know.
You know, I mean, I don't like to go to, I don't want to do aerobics because I don't like to be in a room with a bunch of people that are faking their enthusiasm. You know, that sounds crazy. But to other people with ADHD,
that's very funny.
You know,
great.
We get it. Like, other people are like, oh, my God, me too. Like, I cannot be that excited about, you know, this squat or something. And he gets it, and he presents it in such a hilarious way.
I know.
That
he really does, and that's
happy.
What I just said
yeah.
to the last caller is, I have a lot of people on my show, but I haven't had a chance to laugh like this because I really believe so much in humor. It helps so much in life, and I love the
totally
fact
does.
That he's on here, and I've been laughing the whole time because he's great.
You have to see the humor in things that are difficult, and that's
yes.
what I love about Tom's outlook is, you know, he's not making light of ADHD. He's not
no.
pretending like it's not a big deal, but
right.
he's at least saying, well, you know, let's maybe learn a little bit, but let me make you crack up in the meantime. And I love that. I love it. And I
exactly
can't wait for his book. I'm so psyched about it.
I know, me too. I'm excited for him. I really am. I can't wait to get my hands on it myself. So hurry up,
Allie,
Tom.
I'm
don't
so
wait
thrilled
till
you
June.
Called.
Sorry, say again?
I was thrilled that you called.
Well, thank you for taking my call, Tom. And let me tell
oh,
you,
hey.
I am cracking up that you have a Southern accent. I never pictured
damn
you
it.
Having a
Southern
accent.
Damn it, I don't
a
have a Southern accent. Damn it!
Listen, I'm from Missouri, and you do, okay? That's it.
Yeah, you do, Tom.
Yeah,
I have a New
do.
York accent, so you have to live up to your Southern accent.
Yeah, you do have okay. a New York accent.
I'm from New
yeah,
York.
So it's very funny. To listen to you
yeah.
guys talk to each other, it's very funny.
It's
all
like
right,
the
well,
North meeting the
both.
South again.
Well, thanks for taking the call, and
Justine,
thanks for doing what you do, and I appreciate you having Tom on because I just want as many people to hear him and to
yes.
read his book because he's the real deal.
I do too. In fact, when his book is published, I want to have him on again.
Great idea.
Yeah, we'll work that out, Tom. When you publish your
that'd
book, we'll get
great.
You back on. Okay?
Maybe we
thanks
can have your phone on with me.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. We'll do that.
Everybody loves Yvonne.
Yeah. Yvonne, what do you do?
Pardon me?
Is she on here? Oh,
no, I said
I,
maybe
I,
we can have her on.
Oh, yes. No, absolutely.
We'll both come on the show.
I think that would be a great idea. Let's really work
yeah.
on that.
No,
as
I told her
you're
if
ready
this show
to publish
went good
your
that,
book,
that
we'll,
we could do it together next time. So whenever you want to do it, I mean,
I
it,
would
it
love,
don't matter me.
I would love
oh,
to do that.
Oh, that
would
be great. Yvonne would oh, yeah, yes. She's in love with the sound of her own voice just as much as I am. She just is not as free to admit it. But I've never heard a greater sound than that of my own voice, and I'm fine to admit it. She's in love with the sound of her voice, too.
This is good. So we'll have you both on, and we'll have a lot. We'll have you double the fun, and we'll
yeah, that'd be great.
Have everybody buy your book. Yeah.
That'll be great, too.
Yeah. So, listen, I can't believe this is over already, but it is because I just got the notice that we've got 90 seconds left. So I want to thank everybody who tuned in and those of you who called in to talk to Tom. And we're going to have him back again, hopefully next time with his wife. And that'll be fun. So thanks, Tom, for being on the show.
Oh, it was an absolute pleasure. I had a really great time. I can't even believe I was nervous.
I'm so glad. No, see, this is very relaxing. Very
yeah,
relaxing.
Great.
Yeah. So listen, I will talk to you soon, okay?
All right. Thank you
all
so
right,
much.
All right. You take care. Have a great day.
All right. You too.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
So for those of you who are still listening, Tom was great. Really enjoyed the show. Next week, I'm not sure we're going to have a show. I think we may take next Sunday off because I've got a seminar I've got to go to during that following week, and I've got a lot of things I've got to get done. So we might just remind everybody on Facebook and LinkedIn to listen to my podcasts that are past shows. I've got all different podcasts on there. I've got relationship podcasts, mindfulness, you know, podcast for parents as well. So I want everybody to remember to please stay in the moment. Have a wonderful rest of your Sunday wherever you're listening. And I will be back live in a couple of weeks. Take care.